to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hey guys, this is Ed and Sam, and we have a special surprise show for you. I hope everybody listened last week when we had that panel from Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Halcyon Hotel. Well, we have the man himself. So Sam was there last week, and he got all the information. And I'm lucky enough to have him in Philadelphia this week, so we decided to sit down and discuss what's going on. Hey, Sam, what's up?
Ed, what is going on, man? We are sitting in downtown Philadelphia at Victory Brewing, and you know what? I just got off the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. I got to experience a very consolidated version of the Galactic Star Cruiser, where I did not sleep in it. I did not stay overnight. I was invited to experience a four-hour-long condensed version of some of the things that would happen, and holy cow, my mind is blown.
I can imagine. So we've seen a lot of the different videos, and last week I said we listened to that audio that we got from that panel, and we learned so much. So now we get to ask Sam the questions that we have burning in our minds about the experience and what we can expect kind of from this whole event.
This whole connected experience that is part, it's part vacation experience, it's part theatrical play, part cosplay, parts, I don't even know how to describe it, part escape room. It's all kind of built in. And you know, we should, let's hit it first, because the first thing everybody says is, that's a lot of money.
And that is one of the things we've talked about from the beginning, since they announced what the cost was. And I tell you what, after listening to that panel and hearing some of the stuff Sam says, there is something for everybody. It's just a matter if there's enough.
That's exactly right. And here's how I'll put it. Yeah, I'd say that there's a sliding scale of Star Wars fanism in all of us. You either are a fan, you aren't, or you're somewhere on the scale. And let's be clear, if you're really not a Star Wars fan, this experience isn't for you. It just isn't, right? You would be better suited spending your money to go on the Wish for 4 days or whatever that one turns out to be.
And what I can understand about that, different levels of Star Wars fandom, is that, yes, I'll spend $100 on a droid robot in Batuu. I'll spend a couple $100 on a lightsaber. But will I spend $2,000 to spend 2 days immersed in the Star Wars world? That's the big question.
Well, and it's $5,000, not two. That's where you're going to end up. And along those lines...
Is that because I have to bring somebody?
No, that's what a single person's going to end up being. It's closer to five. In fact, if you want to be in one of the first class cabins, but we won't even get there just yet. This experience is for the person that wants to live and breathe Star Wars for 72 hours. That's what this is. Right, they say 2 days. I'm going to say this is because it's 2 days, two nights, so there's a beginning and an end, and it's a clear story. You are immersed in Star Wars. There is no swimming pool. There is no bus to Epcot. You're not going to leave this place. You're going to check in and stay there for those 2.5 days doing nothing but playing Star Wars in character. And the more you get in character, the better that experience is going to be for you.
So you're basically saying this is the Westworld of the Star Wars world.
You know what? I'm there with you. And you have your backstory ready, Ed. Do you have your backstory ready? Because listen, they're going to say, where are you from?
Let's say when I get the $4,000 in saving and I'm almost to the $5,000, I'll get my backstory then.
But it's true. The backstory starts as soon as you get on board, and we'll talk about the boarding process in a second. But as soon as you get on board, you're meeting these characters that you can tell are from Star Wars, but you don't know who they are. And they'll tell you your name, and they'll kind of say, "Hey, I'm from here," or "I'm from there. Where are you from?" Or, "I am the part of the entertainment. I played the guitar for Gala." And then you start asking, "Who's Gala?" "Oh, she's an international superstar." Or you meet the cruise director, which is a lot like Captain Steuben, and it reminds me of the Love Boat a little bit there, Ed, I'm telling you. But along those lines, they ask you where you're from. And if you blink or blush and tell them you're from the city that you're from, they're going to say, "Where's that planet? Never heard of that. What system's that in?"
Right. I tell you what, you have a good point about coming with a backstory, because you will be that much more immersive. I do get that. That is pretty cool.
All right, you ready for a backstory?
Go ahead.
So I started with stumbling over it, and then I thought, I got to sit back and think about this. Because you know you're in a very specific time in the Star Wars timeline, which is exactly the same time as Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Before or after Episode 8, before Episode 9. So after The Last Jedi, before The Rise of Skywalker. When the First Order appears to be in control, there's a very small resistance cell that's still out there, and Kylo Ren's doing everything he can to squash them out and get rid of the resistance. That's where we are in the timeline, right? So when it comes to backstory, what I came up with, which I kind of like, and by the way, maybe I have a twin, you never know, Ed, right? So you look at the timeline and you rewind a little bit and figure out how old you are, because this is 34 years after the Battle of Yavin, the original Star Wars, Death Star blowing up, so 33 years later. So it's very possible that you could be from Alderaan, where maybe you grew up, but your family relocated to Cloud City, and when you were on Cloud City, you spent a little, if you didn't relocate, you'd be in trouble. Relocated to Cloud City, your dad did some runs for Lando as part of Cloud City, and then when the Empire showed up, you've been running from those bucket heads ever since. So if anybody sees any First Order around here, you're getting the heck out of there. And if you start with that backstory, they immediately know that you don't like the First Order, and if there's any signs of them, maybe they'll let you know.
Yeah, that's a great backstory.
I put some thought into that, guys, by the way. Am I right on as far, or what would your backstory be? It's a great question.
And it is a really good one. And I hope they can keep track of those backstories as you continue on with your couple days.
Yes. Although, there is the possibility of saying, well, that isn't really where I was from. I'm actually from here. There's a lot of double crossing going on. There's a lot of playing like you're with the Resistance, but maybe you're a First Order spy.
So now, okay, I appreciate what you're saying about the backstory. I love the idea of playing along with it. I totally get that. Here's my concern. I paid my $5,000. I now have 72 hours to learn how to converse with these characters so that it becomes realistic. Will I be able to do that? I know that on the cruise ships, basically, you have that full first day of getting yourself acclimated to what you're doing and how you're doing it. I think that Disney would have to make this more of a guided experience, as opposed to letting you kind of wander around for that first afternoon or first night.
And it's only that first afternoon or first night, because it doesn't take long, Ed, for the story to start. And at that point, everyone who was mingling and having fun, right, you just got on the ship. At that point, the storyline starts, and things, well, it's Star Wars. Things don't go the way that you thought they were going to go.
Right. And that never works out the way that anybody plans. I got a bad feeling about this.
Exactly.
A lot of different ways to go. So I guess we can kind of break down this entire experience into different parts. Because the way I see it, or the way I heard through that panel, is that you've got the hotel part, okay, which is a minor part of this experience.
Yep.
You've got the characters and story, which seems to be the 75% part of this experience.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, the last part of the cruise, I would say, would be my time part of the experience, too. So let's start with the cruise part of the experience.
Well, I want to jump to the end of that, because the more of the my time you take, the less you're going to have with the everything else, right? So if you're looking for my time, this isn't the experience for you. That's go on the Wish and hang out there someplace. This is all about getting an immersive Star Wars experience, hanging out with the crew, going along with the storyline. And it all starts all the way back to when you get on this thing, right? Because it's just like getting on a cruise ship at Port Canaveral. You go to the spaceport, and when you're at the spaceport, you arrive. You get off the bus at the spaceport, or whatever transportation you took there.
Did they take you through that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we arrived on a bus. We got off of the bus. We went to the terminal, which is the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser terminal, the spaceport, just like you would at Port Canaveral. Except now what you're doing is getting into your shuttle that is going to shuttle you from Earth to the Halcyon, the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. So you get into what is obviously an elevator, but there are some viewports where you can see things that are happening. It takes you up, you break through Earth's atmosphere, you jump into hyperspace, and you come out, and these droids snap onto you and sort of tug or push you into the Halcyon. You can see it getting closer and closer, and then boom, all of a sudden, you're docked, the doors open up, and you're walking into the atrium of the Halcyon, the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. So you go through that whole experience. But the whole, as you get to the spaceport, you're seeing some backstage things, you're seeing some interesting things going on. But to me, that's no different than if you went to Port Canaveral. Because you see the infrastructure, you see them loading the boat, you see them putting stuff
supplies
on.
Yep.
And so that's all
luggage
going on. It's sort of the same thing, which is, that was the interesting
part.
It has
a little bit of an industrial feel to it.
Absolutely an industrial feel. But in this case, if you know better, the industrial feel is the back of Galaxy's Edge and all of the still infrastructure that's part of it.
Okay, so now, once you get on the ship and you get assigned to your room, which we've seen pictures of the rooms and they kind of look like, and I guess there's going to be different levels of the rooms, because the ones we saw pictures of definitely look like the low budget rooms we have on the cruise ships that have the animated windows and are very, very small. Do they have different levels of the rooms on the house?
So there is a first class and a standard cabin. So there's rooms, but I'm also going to say that you're not going to spend a lot of time in your room. The room's a place to sleep while you're playing out your Star Wars adventure. You're not going to hang out there. Don't take it out of context and say, oh, the rooms are small, because they are small. They're not big. But you're going into your room so that you can look out the viewport, which is this view into space, which, by the way, as soon as you step into this atrium, you don't look outside at all. Every window is a starport. The bridge is off to the left, and you can see the front of the spaceship. There are windows on the side, and you're the hallway that goes down to all the rooms. When you get into a room, you see out the window. All interconnected.
Did it look like the atriums of the cruise ships? Basically, the chandelier and then welcoming
absolutely
the ship?
Absolutely so. Definitely taken from that.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so now you get taken to your room, and you settle in. Did they give you any idea how long it takes for the story to begin?
That's a great question, because we did not experience that because we weren't staying on board. They brought us in. We started to mingle with some of the characters. As soon as you get to know those characters, boom, something goes wrong. Not necessarily something goes wrong, but there are a couple of first order troopers that come in. And those first...
They have them everywhere.
The troopers are everywhere. They show up along with the first order lieutenant. And what the lieutenant announces is, hey, we've noticed something interesting. Every place that this Halcyon starship goes, every port of call, it looks like there's a resistance insurgents in all of them. And we think it's someone on this ship that is creating these insurgents for the resistance. So we're going to be on board monitoring the activities of this voyage and making sure that nobody on here is with the resistance. And that sort of sets the storyline for everything else that happens. And they completely interrupt the atrium.
And that actual storyline actually... That storyline actually reminds me of the storyline. What was the animation cartoon that was on last on Disney Plus for the Star Wars?
You talking Bad Batch?
Before Bad Batch.
The Resistance.
Right.
Yes.
The Resistance, that's the same thing that happened to that platform they had. The First Order decided to come on and monitor some things. And they had a couple troopers arrive early, and then they just had more troopers arrive after that. So this fits right into that whole storyline.
Absolutely fits the story, and it's part of that story. The Resistance or the First Order showing up for that. And by the way, the Halcyon is a ship that is 275 years old in Star Wars lore. It was recently acquired by the Chandalar Starlines, who have recently refurbished it, so it looks pristine, it's perfect, and this is a recreation of its maiden voyage. That's what's happening here, and that's the voyage that you're going to win, which includes a visit to Batuu.
Right. Awesome. So now, there was one of the things that they pointed out at the panel, is this is a luxury cruise ship. So there are really, really great areas to go to, experience. The food is exceptional.
That's right.
Lounges and things like that. How much time do you think we'll have to go to those places?
So the bridge is phenomenal. I do know that there is an itinerary that they give each of their guests as to where you should be, right? So you're going to go and have bridge training. You're going to go to lightsaber training or some of these things. But then there's also these side adventures that you can get yourself stuck up in. So, for example, if you're talking to one of the characters and you say, hey, is there any resistance on board? And if they trust you, they may pull you into their circle and say, yeah, there is. Are you interested in helping us? And if you say you want to help them, they're going to invite you to different activities on board that you wouldn't know about if you didn't choose to join the resistance. And at the same time, people that are loyal to the First Order and maybe approach some of the troopers and say, hey, there's spies on board. I know where they are. The trooper will introduce you to the lieutenant, and the lieutenant will introduce you to other activities. So there's parallel things happening, which is why nobody's going to see everything.
So one of the coolest parts of the ship I saw in the videos was the bridge. Did they take you up to the bridge?
The bridge is cool. When you come into the atrium, it was kind of interesting because you get to explore. And I immediately had gravitated to the bridge because I'm going to see where they're flying this thing from, right? And then it turns out that there were other people on that same blogging adventure that found their way to the bar and were able to partake in some concoctions that I did not. But I was on the bridge. And the bridge is cool because, as I mentioned before, when you walk onto this, the entire ship, everything, every window you look out of, is all part of the same outside. When things go past you, you see it. So when you're on the bridge, you're looking ahead. You're looking into the stars. You're looking into where you're headed. You get to meet the captain. You get to meet all, and on the bridge, you go through bridge training as part of this. And bridge training helps you manage the ship's defenses.
How many bridge crew were there for you guys?
A great question. There's a lot of room on the bridge.
I definitely saw a lot of stations.
There's a lot of stations. Now, the way they described it, there were four unique stations on the bridge. One was the shields. One was the power. One was engines. One was
the weapons.
Right. Yeah. So, and that might not be exactly what they were, but you have the opportunity in a 2-day cruise to experience all of those. They told us up front that, look, you're only going to get to do two of the four. It is what it is. But what they're doing is they're teaching you how to use each of these systems. What do you have to do to rebuild the ship's shields?
So what you're doing is a more glorious version of Smuggler's Run, then, is what we're doing, because we're taking different stations on the ship.
You know, that is absolutely one way of looking at it, and I hadn't thought of that, but you're right, because you have somebody that's responsible for gathering the cargo that might be out in space, and that's, you're absolutely right, Ed. And the way I looked at it was, each of these stations, when you step back and looked at it from a distance, which, by the way, I did a lot of, instead of hands-on, I stepped back and watched the experience, which made it look, wow, this is really cool.
Right, sure.
We talked about it earlier. If you can imagine sort of the end of Mission Space in Epcot, where you have that game system where you're targeting things and you're blowing it up.
Oh, sure, the last room you enter, you exit out of, and there's all the games going on. Sure, the big board.
When it started, it felt like that. It was elementary. It was sort of crude. It was graphics that looked a little bit older, and you're targeting things and you're shooting at things on the screen. All right, that's kind of cool. But what Disney was doing is setting you up for your adventure, because every time you went in, it got a little faster, it got a little harder, the graphics changed, it got better. And by the time you get to the end of this adventure, you're shooting TIE fighters that look like real TIE fighters, and you're out there and you believe that you're blasting at them. And had you not gone through all of that training, you wouldn't be prepared to do that.
True. It would actually seem like a kind of a game at the end.
It would
be a series.
And I guess that's part of my, if you watch some videos on YouTube, you might see it and think, oh, that looks kind of childish. Well, that's early on in the adventure. That's not the ending of it. And it was so cool to see that all go together. So the bridge is also where a lot of the storyline takes place, the bridge and the atrium. And I mentioned before, you are in the middle of a Broadway play. So you're in the middle of this thing going on around you where you don't know where the stage is.
Imagine going to a Broadway play, but it's happening all around you. So the person in the front row has a line, and the person behind you has a line, and the person next to you, and then on stage, you don't know where the stage is, and you feel part of it. And you might be talking to somebody that then all of a sudden is part of the act that's going on around you. And what you say, they might ask you to go do something because somebody just said, hey, this is going to happen, and they'll nudge you and go, hey, go and get somebody and tell them this, and they're going to give you something back and bring it to me. And it's the interconnection is cool.
It sounds incredible. It almost sounds like the old Adventurers Club, where you're basically in this generic place, but each room you go into, you become more personalized. And the actors and characters that walk around make it even more personalized because they bring you into it. This sounds identical to that. This is pretty incredible.
There's a lot of that interaction happening, and the Bridge is just one of the places. There's so many others. Because you could hang out in the dining room, the Crown of Corellia, where you're going to have your dinners. By the way, they have breakfasts, which here's what I thought was interesting. It's a buffet, but it's a buffet in the context of everything is pre-prepared on plates, and you just grab the plate that you want.
Well, that's okay. I've seen buffets like that. That's still New York type.
Is that a Star Wars thing, or is that a COVID thing?
That's a COVID thing.
But it's interesting.
That's a cruise ship thing.
It's a cruise ship thing. All right, because you grab what you want, and it switches out from breakfast to lunch to dinner.
And actually, that's a little futuristic. I remember stories, and it's funny because I'm talking futuristic, but thinking back to the past.
Yeah.
In the 40s and 50s in New York City, they had these automated dispensary places. You would go in there, and it'd be a big restaurant, but everything was in the wall and automated machines.
That's right.
And you would put money in, and you would get the things out already wrapped on a plate, ready to eat. Sounds very similar to that.
It is very similar to that. You go kind of down the line and grab what you want.
Right.
We did experience a dinner, which was seated, and it was a sampler of what they had. And then we met the intergalactic superstar, who is Gala. Like Lady Gaga, but Gala. She is a Twi'lek who has been performing and is very much in... Everyone's in character the entire time, but she's a galactic superstar, and everybody there should be happy to see her. And she performs with a Rodan playing what looks like a keyboard, but not a keyboard. And she's got a guitar player that's playing a guitar, but not a guitar. And she's got a manager that's doing some things on the side that he probably shouldn't be doing. So another storyline, if you go to the manager, he's smuggling coaxium, and don't give it to Hondo, no matter what you're doing. It's all intertwined together. But another example of, if you decided to be a smuggler and help this guy with his coaxium, you'd have no idea what the Resistance was up to or the First Order was up to.
Right.
You just wouldn't know because there's so many intertwining storylines.
True. Very true. And you wouldn't care. That's the point.
And you wouldn't care. Right. And you find out later, which is it all. But the one thing that is consistent, it all ends in the same climactic ending on the last day.
Well, you're still in the same ship.
You're still on the same ship.
And you have to live and protect yourself, so that makes a lot of sense.
That's absolutely right. And you choose, remember that the journey to Batuu happens on the second day. And it happens on the second day in purpose because of the timeline of this story. Because the way our story is going, and we talked about it earlier, you start in the atrium, and you're interrupted by the First Order, who's saying, "Hey, this ship is we're tying it to Resistance insurgents. We're going to board it and watch what's going on." Then, if you decide to go with the First Order, great. If you decide to go with the Resistance, great. Or, by the way, you can actually go with one and pretend you're a spy, and then double cross them and go the other way. So you can pretend like you're with the First Order, and then jump over to the Resistance and say, "Hey, I found out what they're doing."
That seems like so much to keep track of. In 2.5 days that I'm on this ship, that's crazy.
But it's your story. You don't have to keep track of anything. It's what you want to do. And this is why I say, if you immerse yourself in it, it's the coolest thing ever.
It sounds good. Now, did they give you costumes? Or do you come with your own, or do they give them for you?
So, absolutely, they did not give you costumes. They showed you a gift shop where you could purchase costumes.
Of course.
They showed you the it was the Chandelier Collection which there's a whole bunch of pictures of out at the Disney Nerds Podcast and over at Sam's Disney Diary of what these things are, all inspired by Padme from episode one. Or they all had backstories that they give you, right? But at the end of the day, you're encouraged to dress up. You're encouraged to dress up and play character and show up and be part of this adventure. But I will say that once you get through that first night, your backstory will disappear and you'll be engrossed in what comes next.
That sounds really cool.
It is cool.
And actually, I probably see down the road guides for people going to this like experience. How to prepare for it, how to dress for it,
yep.
How to set your backstory up and get yourself ready to go and have a good time.
That's exactly right. And so the bridge is awesome. That's where a lot of this comes together. There are also some other really cool things. I got to experience the lightsaber training.
Okay.
Which is really cool.
That's the new lightsaber they were showing us that like it actually grows and then shrinks back down to the tilt.
You know, Ed, I wish that it was because I know exactly what you're talking about and I was disappointed for it not to be there. In fact, I went back and watched the video which said premiering on the Galactic Star Cruiser. This was the retractable saber that looked like it was built with different technology that actually retracted. It's not. It is still, you know, there is a tube, and when you turn it on, it did go up slower when it came out, and the noises were awesome, and it looked cool, and it's a customized Jedi training hilt, which is kind of cool. But in the story, you start out, and you're doing some training where you're following the laser beam that's guiding you. And that's what was on the Disney Parks blog, the video that got a lot of little backlash.
Right.
Because it's once again, it's the beginning where you're just starting and it looks rudimentary, but it leads you to something much better.
Very cool. So now, I did see that video and I saw the guys in the front row who had lightsabers. You got to explain the guys in the back row who had what looked like shields.
So the guys in the front row have their sabers and are blocking the training lasers, which is what we saw online, right? But occasionally you miss one of those training lasers. So what they decided to do is stop the Jedi training and give the people standing next in line, waiting to take their turn, a shield that would block them from hitting anybody behind them. So now the person behind waiting to make their next turn and the person behind them are both participating in the same activity, which is kind of cool. And here's what was cool about it. While you're holding the shield, if the person in front of you does miss it and you catch it, it lights up and shakes. So you know that you caught that training.
Very cool.
So it's the training portion of this. Now, what else was interesting was in the process of doing this, which, by the way, the saber training person is in character and dude, although building your saber on Batuu is a much better experience. I'll give you that right now, which I experienced with you.
Sure.
Much better experience. The person was in character just as much. Absolutely. This is all about the Force, and we're going to help you, and if things go bad, you're going to be on our side, and we're going to make things work better. And then everything kind of, hold on, what's happening? And you hear from Yoda.
Really?
From a hologram of Yoda that comes on and gives you a little more backstory and tells you some stories here. And basically what happens is the lightsaber, the trainer goes, Yoda's right. We don't need training lasers. We need to use the Force because the Force is going to guide us. And we're going to use the Force to block the blasts that come. And we're going to block real blasts, not training blasts. And the experience changes a little bit. And by the way, the experience with all those people, when you step back and look at it, there's four people with two people behind AH kind of blocking things. It's pretty cool to see that room full of people.
Oh, it looked really active.
And that's why. It's active. It's participation.
So that's a Yoda Force ghost, I'm guessing?
It has to be because we're clearly way after. Right. Or is it a hologram? Or not a hologram, but one of the holocrons.
Right.
It's in a holocron. There's a Jedi hologram, a message from before. And basically says, don't use the training remotes. You need to go against real blasts.
And I got to imagine we'll have other people, other characters maybe appear to do that same message or something similar.
Maybe,
perhaps.
Maybe. It's possible. But it is cool to hear Yoda. You're in there. You're like, oh, God, this is great. And then he says, okay, forget it. Now when you look at the training remote, instead of seeing a light shine, there's sort of this, you're told to just focus on it and use the Force. And what happens is there's some little things that happen behind it that catch your attention. And you put your saber there and you catch it. And they're like, oh my gosh, you just use the Force. And it's kind of cool. And it's the good old lead up, right? It starts rudimentary and childish, and it builds into something that's really cool.
Right. Very, very much so. I could see definitely getting involved in that, especially if we're there. And again, you know what's going to depend on? How many people are going to be in that room at the same time? How many people are participating? If I'm going to participate, if everybody's participating?
Here's what I can tell you. There were four stations, and if you looked at the ground, there were four active people, and then behind them were one, two, three, four potential waiting for each one. So it could be a lot of people. But this is an activity that you sign up for ahead of time. I want to take like 7
minutes. Oh, okay. So it's like one of those...
not a hidden thing.
It's like a booze tasting on a cruise ship. So you have to sign up ahead of time and schedule.
You got it. You schedule your... Or they may schedule it for you. But it's kind of cool to go through it. And then, of course, you can buy the Hilt, which is only available on the Star Cruiser. And by the way, if anybody's been watching eBay, they're there already. I don't know how. And they're really expensive. But right. Then I thought to myself, maybe I could book this cruise for $5,000, buy three of those, and then sell them for $1,200 each, and I'd be able to go anyway.
Pay for the cruise.
I don't know if that's what's happening or not, but the thought crossed my mind. Lightsaber training's awesome.
So the next thing I want to ask you about, and I know we don't have a lot of free time for ourselves because we're doing our Star Wars storylines and things like that, but there's got to be some type of lounge because I got to imagine it like 10 at night, the storyline has to stop. And, you know, we're getting ready for the next day. We have to hit hyperspace. We have to go to sleep. We have to rehab. So is there a bar on ship?
There is absolutely a bar. There is a lounge, which includes some hollow sabacc tables, where I learned how to play sabacc. But I was interrupted, but I had a whole bunch of other things to do. But it was kind of cool to try to play sabacc. But absolutely a lounge that features some pretty interesting concoctions. As you can imagine, some of them named after planets that this has visited before.
Oh, so different from Oga's. So we got
Completely different from Oga's. Nowhere near it. There's a Musferian, basically from the lava planet. There's some black rocks that you can drill into. And there are different drinks in the lounge versus drinks in the Crown of Corellia dining room. And the food options...
Did you taste any food while you were there? Did they have samples?
I did taste some food in the dining room, which was unique in taste. What I, unfortunately, or maybe for, I don't know, right? So you sit in the dining room, they put the food in front of you, you start to taste it, then Gala starts to sing. So what would I do? Take my phone and record Gala singing, like every other person did in the dining room, by the way. But while dining is happening, there's an emergency on the ship, and we all have to go to our muster stations, and they push us all out of there. So I am very rapidly eating anything that I can pick up with my fingers because I didn't eat.
Sure.
But that emergency happens to be sort of the climax of the whole thing. So Gala's performance is interrupted, and you know, just like being on a boat where, okay, there's an emergency, you got to get to the bridge. There's all kind of lights and sounds, and it sounds bad, and you got to walk up the steps to get back to the atrium. And that sets up sort of the storyline.
Right. It sounds like an incredible experience just to get to that point. And it was a 4-hour cruise that they, or actually a 2.5-day cruise they put into 4 hours. So I get how you were forced through the different.
And they only showed us certain things. So here's a good example. At one point, they said, okay, now here's what's going to happen next. You've decided that you want to be part of the First Order. And because you decided to help the First Order, you're going to sabotage the ship. And to sabotage the ship, what we're going to do is need to go into the engine room and do some interesting things. And now while you're in the engine room, what they tell you is, okay, now for those of you that went to Batu, did you come back with the data packs that we asked you to get? And by the way, the data packs look exactly like what Jalen Erso's running around with in Rogue One.
Oh, okay.
With his plans for the Death Star, right? It's so cool because it's like, oh my gosh, that's what she had in the movie.
So that's a physical thing they come back with. It's something on her data pad.
It's a physical thing that you come back with from Batu. I don't know where you get it on Batu. I don't know who you're talking to.
So you got to find your contact.
But you come back with this thing. And because you brought it back to the Halcyon, you can put it in a certain location, which unlocks the ability to sabotage the engine room. on the Halcyon, which, by the way, Ed, I talked earlier about the fact that the front of this ship is all clean and pristine, right, because it's been refurbished. As soon as you get to the engine room, it's 275 years old. It is not clean and pristine.
Very cool. I would hope so.
Yeah. Which is a good way of looking at the whole thing.
Okay, Sam, so it sounds like this was an incredible experience. Before we finish up, what was the thing you took away from it? Like, is there one major thought?
There's so many things I took away from this, Ed, that I don't know where to start.
Well, okay, because let's put it this way. You've just cashed the $5,000 check that's going to get you onto the Halcyon with your significant
other. Going. I'm going.
What is the most important thing that you're going to have to do on those two-day cruise based on what you saw on this experience?
I, where would I start? Who would I be with? Am I supporting the resistance? Am I supporting the First Order? Because here's the interesting part. During this storyline, and by the way, I'm going to give some spoilers out. If you plan on going on this at some point, you might not want to listen. If you go with the resistance, there is a reason to smuggle Chewbacca onto the Halcyon. Chewbacca needs to get on. And when Chewbacca gets on, if you double-cross the resistance, you can tell the First Order where he is and they will capture him. And they'll put him in the brig.
No, can't do that.
Well, you could do that. And now Chewbacca's in the brig. So now somebody's got to break Chewbacca out of the brig. If you weren't part of this storyline, you'd have no idea this was happening. It's all happening around you, behind you. Nobody knows what's going on, right? Just like going down to Galaxy's Edge and being able to collect something physically. You also, if you talk to the Jedi training person, she might be interested in acquiring Jedi relics from Batuu. So she might send you into Dock Ondor's to get something from Dock Ondor's. Okay, what's going on here, right? Those are all different ways you can go.
Right.
Which gives it some, I don't want to call it repeatability because it's a lot of money to repeat ability, right? But they're just so, that's kind of how it all intersects.
That's going to probably take care of all the videos that are going to come out from the first people staying there, is that people can watch those videos and expect a totally different experience, maybe.
And they're going to, and that was actually one of the things that I was a little concerned with and why I didn't immediately post all the video that I got, because it's out of context, it's out of order, and everybody wanted to jump to the end scene where here's Kylo Ren coming on board, right? And it's so out of context because that happens on the end of the last day. Right, because why does Kylo come on board? Well, remember when I said before, there's this, this Halcyon has been tracked to all of these resistance cells that are popping up in these different ports of call. And during that process of the ports of call, well, somebody blew up a Star Destroyer that was part of this mission where they were working with Rey and wanted to become part of the resistance and went on that and had to get rescued by Finn. I'm talking about the Rise of the Resistance attraction. So you blow up a Star Destroyer, Kylo Ren comes down to Batuu, goes, what the heck is going on? He follows you back up to the Halcyon, he boards the Halcyon and goes, whoever blew up my Star Destroyer is on this ship and I'm going to find you. Who did it? And that starts this entire thing. And it starts this climactic ending where while Kylo is interrogating the ship, Rey shows up with BB-8. And this, you know, and that's when the final battle starts after Rise of Resistance, right? But it ends in such a way that, yes, this is cool, the Resistance wins, and you're going to go to the next movie. But it's a very specific point in time from a Disney point of view. Oh, and by the way, for a big spoiler, okay?
Right.
I'm going to give it to you. The entire time, the Halcyon is a Resistance ship.
Oh, okay.
That's the big spoiler. So all along, the captain and all the crew members are with the Resistance.
So the First Order people on the ship, what happens to them?
It's a great question, because at that point, for my experience, it was the climactic finale. If you're there, it's like, okay, go to bed. I don't know where that fits. Are you going to bed, or this happened the morning that you're going to disembark? But for me, that's kind of how it fit. But that's how the Halcyon fits into this whole storyline, and it all ties together, and that's the story of
hopefully you know what you're going to do. You're going to go back to your room and you're going to watch Boba Fett, the Book of Boba Fett, or
so,
The Mandalorian.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, because, and now get away from the Halcyon, let's get back into Star Wars for a second. Disney put themselves, and they did this on purpose, at a very specific time frame. And in fact, the Imagineers kept talking about it. 7 years they worked on Galaxy's Edge and the Star Cruiser at the same time. They were managing it, which is why all this stuff intermingles and the storyline is so specific. Because the events of the Rise of the Resistance happen on the second day of your Halcyon voyage. It's very specific in the storyline, and it carries the story back up. So, by the way, when you go from the Halcyon, after you've boarded it, you've gone up to it. When you go to Batuu, you get on the transport, which, yes, I know there's pictures on the internet to say, look at the box truck. When you're inside it, you don't know that.
Right.
It's like riding the Gringotts train from one end of the Universal to the other.
Or think Rise of Resistance, that first ship you get on the transport.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You're traveling down, which, by the way, another Imagineer told me the biggest surprise for them was traveling on that shuttle down to Batuu and getting to Batuu in story, meaning they didn't have to walk through Grand Avenue or Toy Story to get to it.
See, that's going to be amazing. I would love to have that experience someday, because you do lose a little bit of that realism when you have to get to Batuu.
You got to go through Toy Story Land to get there.
Yeah.
And that they...
Or past Muppets. I mean, come on.
Right. And what they had told me was the coolest immersive point of this whole thing was getting there without going through those lands. Because you get there and the story from the Star Cruiser extends down.
Right. And the docking bay that you actually enter Galaxy's Edge from, it's really cool because it's in the area where Kylo Ren's ship is, to the left of that store that has the First Order merchandise.
Yeah, yeah.
And that whole area there now, that's an open portal, and that's where that ship docks, or that transport docks. So they come into that land exclusively not knowing that they're in the Disney park.
Not at all. That is Docking Bay 3, by the way, which we learned along the way.
Oh, which matches Docking Bay, what's the restaurant?
7.
Right.
Docking Bay 7, and Kylo Ren's ship is it. I forget which Docking Bay that is. But anyway, it was all part of the story from the beginning is what I'm trying to get to. This was all tied together. But in doing that, 7 years ago, the biggest thing going on in the Star Wars universe was The Rise of Skywalker. Because remember, this came out before that movie. Galaxy's Edge opened before the Rise of Skywalker movie. And it was quote-unquote current day in the Star Wars universe. Now...
For a second.
Now, Ed, what's current day in the Star Wars universe in most people's minds? It's 20 years before that. The Book of Boba Fett, The Mandalorian.
Right.
Which happened 20 years before this.
Which is tough.
So, and I've talked to a few people that thought, has Disney missed the boat by placing themselves? Because remember, they didn't want to be in the Death Star because the Death Star is gone today.
Right.
So they placed themselves somewhere else. But are they missing the boat by not being able... Well, maybe they could. Is the Mandalorian still alive? Is Grogu still alive?
They can still create so many storylines in this time frame. I think that they're fine.
It's interesting to think that, though, right? Because what's hot right now for Star Wars? What's hot is Grogu and Mandalorian and Boba Fett and Fennec Shand. And
however, we haven't seen the Obi-Wan series. So that's going to throw us back into the past a little bit.
Which would throw us back further. Yes.
So it's a matter of, I guess what's hot is going to be current. But I still think that when you come back to the ship, it'll be more of a matter of you're looking at the histories when you see Boba Fett and Obi-Wan.
You're looking at history. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You're looking at the previous. And with the Halcyon having a 275-year history, which includes things like Back to the High Republic or Aurra Sing and Zam Wesel and some of those bounty hunters from Episode 1. Right. They're going to be in the next episode. And then we saw Padme and Anakin have been on this. Oh, and by the way, talking about the comics and the books, the Princess and the Smuggler, which is a novel that's going to be coming out, that is going to feature what happened exactly immediately following the Return of the Jedi. Right, because the last we seen Return of the Jedi.
Oh, so we're talking about the hookup.
You're talking about the fact that Han Solo and Princess Leia had their honeymoon on the Halcyon.
Oh, wow.
This ties right in.
We'll see.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, there's also a huge painting of the galaxy in the atrium of the Halcyon Star Cruiser, and that painting was commissioned by Princess Leia as a gift to the Starliner for the good service that they experienced while they were on their honeymoon.
Oh, wow. So it's all part of the story. It's all canon.
It's all canon. It's all part of the story. And
so now, dude, this looks incredible. And unfortunately, I'm never going to be sailing on this ship. However, it looks good to see what's going to happen.
I don't say never because look, this is all supply and demand. Right, the entire Disney thing is supply and demand. So as I mentioned, the Star Wars fan that is absolutely into it, cosplay, wants to go, wants to experience this, wants to be part of it, they're going to pay for it and they're going to say it's worth it. How many of those fans are there?
I don't know.
A year's worth?
We're going to find out.
2 years worth?
Oh, until the price comes down?
That's where I'm getting to. How many people will be willing to pay that?
Or can we perhaps have a secondary ship? The Halcyon, and then it has the Andromeda, perhaps, would be the secondary ship that they built.
So the Halcyon, there's mentions in the comic books and in other books that there are sister ships of the Halcyon.
Okay, well, there you go. Right on top
which,
of
by
it.
The way, the Halcyon was built in Corellia. Same yard as the Millennium Falcon.
Sure, yeah.
Which, by the way, some of the characters on board have a backstory of being born in Corellia. And they are like, oh my God, I love the Millennium Falcon. If you see it, let me know. That is such it's a perfect ship. And they knew all about it, knew the stories of it. And it was involved in destroying the first Death Star and the second Death Star. And it's,
there's so many levels. This can go anywhere.
It could go anywhere. And that's what's kind of cool about it.
Right.
But
very cool.
Every character on board has something to do with the storyline in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's Gala the singer, Sammy the mechanic.
But can you talk to these characters individually?
You talk to them all individually.
The singer and everybody?
The singer, absolutely. In fact, the singer, I talked to the singer and she goes, oh, aren't you so happy to meet me? Something along those lines.
So she's a diva.
Or
too.
She's a diva. Yeah. She is absolutely positively a diva. But she also has Sammy, who, you know, Sam and Sammy, which why he remembered my name the entire journey. He is a mechanic who is absolutely infatuated with Gala. In fact, that's the reason why he snuck out of the engine room and came up to the deck so that he could see her, because he hasn't seen her before. And that guy, there's something going on. So get to know Sammy. He's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. So now, this is going to be cool, because as the Halcyon operates and as we get further and further into its opening and continuing existence, we're probably going to hear a lot more of these stories. And I would not be surprised if we do get a couple books down the road about the Halcyon and the stories behind it.
Absolutely.
So we will see.
I even think they could tweak or change little parts of the storyline. I don't even think anybody would know, because you can't experience it all. Think about all those different storylines I talk about, right? You're on there for the 2 days, however long that is, and your adventure is different from anybody else's, and that's what they keep saying. It's immersive, it's different, because it's not like there's a beginning and there's the ending.
Right.
Although the ending is the same, you can't change the fact that Kylo Ren ends up in this big the climactic scene with Rey. That happens. But there's so many ways to get to it.
Right.
And you can go anyway.
I think as we go along, we're going to hear goods or bads, and I think mostly it's going to be good, but we just want to make sure that everybody gets their chance at their story. I think that's going to be the biggest thing they're going to have a hard time with, is make sure everybody has that chance to become involved. So we'll see.
It's what's next?
Yep, exactly. What's next? And what do you guys think? Let us know. Send us an email. Do you guys think you're going to be going on the Halcyon, or do you think you'll be saving up for it? Let us know. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
Where's he been?
He just beamed in.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Ed, thank you. Congaloosh.
Simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay.